Hi, everyone. I'm Jeff Melnick, and welcome back. Over the past few years on this podcast, we've had some honest conversations about what it means to lead a 21st century business that puts people first. From global crisis to social justice, from corporate missteps to personal convictions, we've explored what leadership really looks like when it's put to the test. One theme has come up again and again. What do you stand for? This month, we've pulled together a few moments from the Reimagining Work From Within archive that speak directly to that question. You'll hear from me and fellow Within People partner Carol Kondo as we reflect on the choices leaders make and how those choices reveal who we are. These segments span a few years, but they're connected by a thread of conviction. Whether we're talking about DEI and social justice, the war in Ukraine, or Pride Month, one thing is clear. Business plays a role in social change, and more than ever, leaders cannot sit on the sidelines. My hope is that this collection gives you something to reflect on. So we're going to look at what stops leaders from taking action, and that's really relevant in today's current climate where committing to DEI appears to come with consequences. How to respond rather than react to situations that impact on the lives of your people. Why marginalized communities matter to your business, and how the decisions you make today, especially those that go against the tide of the status quo, form your legacy as a leader. All right, buckle up. Let's dive in. Last year, I sat down with Carol to talk about leadership and social justice. At the time, it felt like DEI was losing momentum. Fast forward to today, and DEI has become a concept that large corporations are turning their back on, like Target, Meta, IBM, Verizon, Deloitte, BlackRock, the list goes on and on, all who made public statements in the wake of the murder of George Floyd and now distance themselves from commitments to changing their business. Carol gets right to the heart of something that many leaders face, fear. The fear of saying the wrong thing, of backlash, of being canceled, but also the deeper fear, that more personal one, that if we take a stand, it might cost us something. According to the 2025 Edelman Trust Barometer, 60% of consumers globally expect CEOs and companies to take a stand on social and political issues, and that's up from 54% in 2024. But Carol reminds us that the real leadership isn't about playing it safe. It's about having the courage to speak up, even when it's uncomfortable, even when there's risk involved. Take a listen.
What's happening outside work is happening to real people. And we can't expect things that are happening to real people outside work not to affect the people inside work. Organizations are servicing people, and businesses are about people, whether they're producing products. The products are to be consumed by people. So nowadays, it's difficult to say, I run an organization and I will not take a stand, though whatever it is that I'm selling is impacting or I'm giving it to somebody else. So what is it that businesses are willing to stand for that affects people? And how possible is it for us to say, whatever you are feeling and seeing outside, keep it out there? And when you come into the business place, derobe, and you come in as our employee only, we want you in the purest form of an employee, whatever you're feeling should just be left out there and should not come in with you. And I think that's an impossible expectation, because if the issues outside were making these people happy, we would say to them, oh, bring your joy. You know, whatever is making you happy outside, let it inspire the workplace. So why are we then saying to them, what's affecting you outside mustn't affect the workplace? Let's bring it in and have a conversation about it. What's happening? Let's talk about that.
So it's quite difficult for leaders to hold that, don't they? Because they want the joy, right? They want employee satisfaction. They want employee happiness. And now suddenly people are unhappy. They're unhappy outside work. They're unhappy with the situation in society. They're bringing that unhappiness into the business. What's going on in leaders today? Why can't they hold that ability to see that this is possibly something that's come inside their business and that maybe there even is a positive aspect?
Well, Jeff, I think it's the oldest thing I think that has existed in humanity, fear. And these topics, to be honest with you, are huge topics. We're talking of things like Black Lives Matter, our current situation right now, you know, or with the Israeli wars. those are huge topics, and they're scary topics because you're scared of being canceled. You're scared of saying the wrong thing. You're scared of being accused of being a co-conspirator later on in history. You don't want to go down in history as being that organization that supported that particular way of being, you know? And all of us innately want to be seen and regarded as good people. And the truth is, we would rather protect our images. And most of the time, we condone bad things because of our fear. So can we overcome our fear and really face reality with what is happening around us?
I want to take you back to early 2022. The war in Ukraine had just begun. As a Ukrainian-Canadian, I remember the heaviness, the horror of seeing Russian tanks move further into the country, the concern for the amazing people I had met only a few years ago when I visited to see the home of my great-grandparents. This global crisis, like many others, like Israel and Gaza, where people are divided on what is right and what is wrong, leaves leaders unsure of how to respond, or if they should respond at all. In this moment, I reflected on the emotional weight people carry during times of crisis in our communities, from Black Lives Matter to COVID, and what it really looks like for leaders to meet that moment. Not with polished statements or quick reaction, but by listening first. Here's that reflection. I think we should look at them through the lens of Ukraine because that's what's happening right now. It's very present. But I think there's a bit of a reminder here for leaders of this almost sequence that they can go through when something like this happens. I want to draw on Black Lives Matter and COVID as a bit of a connection to that. We've lived through those really recently. They're very important. I think they really shone a light on what business should and shouldn't do. And I want to use the word should and shouldn't with care here because I'm not telling anyone ever you should do that. But I think there's kind of a maybe do that as helpful. So I think whenever anything like this happens, listen for leaders just to stop. The tendency for leaders is to rush to solve and step into action. They might even be having a lot of pressure from people around them, or even they feel like I need to act, right? But really, if we just stop to listen to people first, checking in, how are they feeling? What do they need right now? And just creating that space to really acknowledge and understand the emotional impact and the heaviness of what's going on. And I think Anik, you really positioned that well at the beginning around this is happening. People are feeling this. So rather than rushing into solution, can we just make the space to understand it? And we saw that how important that was with Black Lives Matter. I think a lot of leaders rushed into having to solve something or demonstrate something, and they left behind the people who are mostly being impacted, be it their Black team members, who they didn't check in with or didn't ask what they needed right now. And the impact of that is that it's then really all about the business or the leader rather than those that are actually feeling the stress of the moment.
Yeah.
And Anik, what you said about it's hard to perform at work when I can't connect into what's going on around me is really critical. And I think we saw that with COVID. We saw that with Black Lives Matter. And I think this is something that we're going to have to just see ongoing now. Can leaders just take the time to create the space? June is Pride Month, and for several years, we've hosted a conversation about how businesses can truly demonstrate their support. Not by turning their logo into a rainbow, but by actually demonstrating their commitment to equality in the workplace by changing how their business operates to be more inclusive and equitable for all. The backlash against the LGBTQ community continues to intensify. This year, 575 anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced in the United States. Many is an attempted erasure of trans people by removing access to healthcare, a ban on serving in the military, restricting how they play sports, and dictating which bathrooms they can use. A recent study by Gravity Research showed that 40% of corporations in the U.S., including MasterCard, Citi, Pepsi, Nissan, PricewaterhouseCoopers, all who have in the past turned their logos a lovely shade of rainbow, have reduced their support of Pride events this year. 6 in 10 of those companies cite the current administration as the top reason for this change. I opened our Pride episode of Reimagining Work from Within with some reflections on why this fight matters for business and why allyship isn't enough. It's time for business leaders to become accomplices. This is about showing up. It's about what we're willing to say, risk, and do, especially when it's unpopular. Here's that opening. It's June, which means it's Pride Month in most places around the world. Last year, we shared an episode discussing Pride as a riot, why business should care about Pride, and how to create a riot of your own. And since what we offered to listeners is even more relevant right now, we thought we'd bring the episode back again. The LGBTQ fight for equality is everyone's fight. A basic principle of equality is that if one group is not free, no one is. That rights could be taken away from any group of people at any time. This year, we're seeing the usual attempts at corporate allyship, and the backlash against businesses supporting Pride has intensified, with companies like Budweiser and Target backing down from their commitments because of attacks by pressure groups and threats to their employees. But all of this is with a backdrop of increasing intolerance. So let's just paint a picture to give everyone a bit of the context of where we are now here in 2023. In the last year, schools are being pressured to remove books from libraries for fear they may coerce children to becoming homosexual or transgender. This growing censorship movement has taken place in 138 school districts in 32 states, impacting 4 million students. Drag performances are being banned. In Tennessee, Republican Senator Jack Johnson said that parents can now take their kids to a public or private show and not be blindsided by a sexualized performance. This week in Canada, an adult verbally attacked a 9-year-old child participating in a track and field event because he believed the child was transgender and called her parents groomers and pedophiles. Meanwhile, Uganda has legislated the death penalty for homosexuals. This legislation comes after years of lobbying from American Christian groups. Anyone found guilty of promoting homosexuality in the country could face up to 20 years in prison or death. Uganda is now one of 11 countries where being gay can be punishable by death, and 67 countries have national laws criminalizing same-sex relations between consenting adults. But why does this matter for business? Well, it matters even more than ever. As a marginalized group, LGBTQ people are not visible, maybe like your Black or Asian employees, or some of your disabled employees. You cannot always see them, but they are there, and they need to know that they belong, so that they can be free to be themselves, without judgment. If your employees are not gay, they may be the parents of LGBTQ children. They need to know that where they work is an ally to them and has their back, that their children can grow up unafraid of the world, that their kids who may be gay, lesbian, or transgender are accepted, loved, and safe. A next generation of kids who may one day soon come to work in your business. But more than ever, the LGBTQ community does not need allies. We need accomplices to fight alongside us, to stop the injustice that persists and is growing in our governments, and to refuse to tolerate any intolerance towards any human being for simply being who they are. This podcast looks at the shift away from rainbow logos and sponsored pride floats to real action you can take. I hope it inspires you to think a little bit differently about not only pride, but how your business can create social change from within. While some turn their backs on commitments to diversity, equity, and inclusion, as governments attempt to punish those who stand for social justice, and as the world becomes more uncertain and volatile, what do leaders do? As a business leader, you have a privilege. Your business is a system with a distinct culture. You have the power to ensure your people belong. And as your people thrive, you impact the communities you operate in. So while you might think that you're powerless to create change, you can influence how work works. Here's a moment from our conversation where I lay out what is needed and what it means to use your system for change. Can you stand up as a leader in front of your business and say, this is why we're not willing to defund politicians who will actively seek to discriminate in our communities? And I think we saw the backlash with Disney, where they wouldn't withdraw their support of the Don't Say Gay bill, and then the bill passed, and then they're like, oh, wait a second, actually we do. A little bit too late there, Mickey. But the backlash internally and externally for Disney fans was very real. And of course, now Disney gets the backlash from the Florida politicians. But who will win? Mickey or Ron? Well, I've sort of alluded to it already with my, let's go with the defunding option. I mean, I think that's the far end of the scale. Obviously, the like, how do you listen to people, understand the issues in the community? That is important. Like you said, this is a time for space. So how do we give space for those stories? How do we actually hear and understand them? I think one thing that I'd love to highlight is I think it's time that if you have a policy in your business that is equitable and inclusive, say, for example, adoption leave for same-sex parents or healthcare provided at the fullest extent of your insurance that might be quite different to what the state would provide, say, for HIV medication or something like that, that really understands the needs of the community. How are you extending that to everyone in your global workforce? So if you've got employees in America, and I'm just going to be bold here, and you have operations in Saudi Arabia, how are you going to bring that level of equity and understanding to your employees there? And that's edgy, because that's going against the cultural norms of what's happening in your business and the places that you operate. But I'm going to plant a flag there and say, you own your system, leader. So if you believe in equity, then that has to go across the board. It can't just be, oh, you live in California, so we must be more liberal, so we're going to give you more things. Yeah, so just extending it, because I think as companies get more global, and also as the workforce gets more global, so we can work from anywhere now if you live and work in certain places, not if you work for Elon. More on that maybe later. Are we extending that same understanding of equity across our business? Or are we packaging it up in more liberal places so that we can attract the people who might be living more in those zones? And this is always the crux, right? It's always the thing is like, ooh, maybe we don't want to stick our heads too above the parapet because we're going to have people out there that aren't going to like what we stand for. Well, you don't stand for it unless you're standing on the parapet, bouncing up and down and saying, this is what we stand for. I want to return to Carol's wisdom one more time. In this final clip, she offers a powerful reminder that leadership isn't just about what we say or do today. It's about the impact those choices will have in the years to come. What are we building that will still matter in 30 years? What kind of legacy are we leaving behind? So should leaders feel pressure to change?
That's a very interesting one. Should, must, eh? We used to call them modal verbs, isn't it, in English? Should, must. There's an obligation here from somewhere to use asking somebody else to do something here. Is this really the right thing to do? And I think that's a very fundamental question that businesses don't ask themselves anymore. Before we take a side, I think one of the most important questions that we forget to ask ourselves, even as individuals who lead people, is this the right thing to do? We forget to ask ourselves that many a time. And before you should, must, can, and any other modal verb you want to use, maybe ask yourself whether that is the right thing to do.
I love that. And also to think deeply about the consequences beyond it. Get strategic. Go to 30,000 feet. That one thing that we're being told we must, should, have to do today may not be in the best interest of everyone in the long term. And it really is the executive's job to look at that highest level and think, what are the impacts for all of our stakeholders on this change, not just that one thing that may seem like a band-aid quick fix solution right now.
It is. And I wonder, 30 years from today, whether some of these things that we're really advocating for, we really feel the same way about them. And will our opinions be as strong? And if we are building organizations, are we building organizations that we want to last? We'll have legacies that are way beyond our time and our tenures as leaders. What is our thinking around all that? That should inform some of the decisions that we are making and not just think up to the tip of our noses.
I think that's a beautiful invitation, Carol. I think that is the thing. Just when you said that, I thought, what a wonderful space of curiosity for a leader to actually step into. Is this going to make the change? If I stand here today, 30 years into the future, will I have stood by that decision because I felt that was the thing that really made the difference? And I look around today and see that some of the things that people are doing is not going to lead to longstanding change. And I think it takes courage and conviction for a leader to say, that thing that you're asking me to do that you think I should and must do is not going to create the change you want to see in the world. Thank you. We will take this course of action instead. Thanks for listening. Leadership isn't about having all the answers, but it is about making choices and choosing to stand for something, even when it's uncomfortable. As a leader, I know I don't always get things right. I've tried to act in integrity with the purpose and values of our business. They are our internal compass, helping us to navigate uncertainty. Trying to build a business in the 21st century isn't easy. Sometimes coming back to what you stand for is enough. If this episode sparked something in you, we'd love to hear it. Reach out, share it, or start a conversation in your own workplace. That's how this work spreads from within. This episode included clips from The Role of Leadership in Social Justice, 3 Actionable Insights, Pride Was a Riot, Creating Social Change from Within, and Ukraine and Social Crises, How Do Business Leaders Respond? And you can find all of those wherever you're listening to podcasts. But if you want more conversations like this, tune into our podcast for more episodes on what's happening in the culture and leadership space, what's on the mind of leaders committed to change in our community, and other future of work content you crave. Reimagining Work from Within is available wherever you listen to podcasts.